right to be doing on the Churban. Right. So in order to be doing on the Churban, the person has to be able to appreciate the objective world. And most people are too involved in their own personal, to be on that to be in that level. You know, to even appreciate that in an objective way. It means like a person's concerned about the door. Let's say a person's concerned about the door. That's why he had like Gedolma concerned about the door. About what's happening to the door. An average person will walk around worried about the door. That's nonsensical. I mean, he's not on a level where he's worried about it. To worry about the door means where a person has to be able to look in and see the objective reality. To be able to see what's happening with this generation and how this generation is fitting in line with the plans of the plan of the Torah, you know what I mean? And if a person isn't on a level where he can remove himself from his own personal life and be on an objective level, he can't be concerned about it. Yes? So then what happens? So in other words, most people are too deeply rooted in the personal, in their own private lives. They don't really have an objective concern for the door. So therefore, if they start worrying about the Churban, so it's some type of egocentric thing. It's not really an objective thing. It's a crazy thing. So like he imagines he's concerned about the Churban. It's not really it's an expression of some type of emotion. You know what I mean? Some type of crazy emotion. But it's not really the real worry about the Churban. To worry about the Churban, a guy has to be on a level where he really appreciates the objective historical plan of the Torah. And it disturbs him why this plan was not fulfilled according to the way it was supposed to. So he's on a level where he can see where the distortion in God's plan disturbs him. That's a tremendous level. But if an average person is not on that level, so what is he worrying about the Churban? So it's some crazy emotion that he's expressing. I mean, you have to be a psychoanalyst to know what kind of emotion he's expressing. But usually it's some type of egocentricity. You know what I mean? Some type of egocentricity. He's worried about the Churban. He identifies that he's the one that's going to mourn for the Churban. That's why I said, who are you? Who are you to mourn for the Churban? You're not on the level to appreciate the objectivity of the situation. So that's why you're not allowed to do it. That's why you can't do it. What? It's a bizui, number one.
Because otherwise
it's a bizui. No. First of all, it's a bizui, and second of all, for him, it's a bad thing. Yeah, it's a distortion of the system. It's not a reality.
But as a unit, we can do it.
Ah, so the question is, how can we do it on Tisha B'Av, right? Yeah. Because you see what it means like that. What it means is that a person really it would be impossible. It's really like tefillah, same type of thing like tefillah. It's really impossible for a person to be mispalel properly, because his ideas of God are distorted, right? And yet not to be mispalel would be equally bad, because then he'd never be attempting to direct his energy to the highest level. So he'd never move from the spot. He'd never raise himself. In the process of raising himself, he has to go through false corridors of ideas. But that's the way it is. He can't help himself. So what do? So you have tefillah as a matir. The matir shows the person that he shouldn't think he's on the level where he can do it. And yet, it teaches him that he must do it. The same thing with the Churban. It'll be impossible not to mourn the Churban. And yet in mourning the Churban, people really don't mourn it properly, because it requires a totally objective level. So therefore, to mourn the Churban indiscriminately would lead the person to believe that he's really on a level where he's mourning the Churban. And not to mourn the Churban would be an impossible situation, because then he's not directing his energies where they should be directed. So he has to mourn the Churban imperfectly, in an imperfect state. How does he mourn the Churban imperfectly? With the Matir of Halacha. The Matir of Halacha teaches him that he has to mourn the Churban, and yet that's not a perfect situation. So that's why you need the Matir. So that's what the Rav said, that the that Shivas of Atam, what's the status of Shivas of Atam is Medina the Gemara. It's a tremendous definition, beautiful definition. I mean, you don't have to, the Gemara says Ben Am Tzarim. So you see that there is such a thing as Shivas of Atam. right? And yet, the Medina de Gemara, the only avelus he had was Shlosh Chalba, right? So, what kind of a role did it play, Shavas Batamas? So that's why I said it was a matir for the. Was on the chorb. Sharp. The matter based upon the essay.
Oh, you didn't mention
Shabbat? Oh, what's
that
all?
What? What's that
all? Oh, that's all day. Now, this is all day in Tisha B'Av.
Yeah.
Right? What? Is that the. He wanted to say that Echo is a new type of a thing. Echo. In other words, you want to say there was a new Masorah that Yirmiyahu HaNavi received,
right,
that he could write an Echa. Because ordinarily you cannot express anything contrary to God's will. And over here you see, you do. You're not accepting it so readily. Right? No, Eve is something else. No, Eve is not. No, Eve. Well, Eve on the contrary, the whole Eve is that you have to. That's the whole Eve. You have to accept God's will. That's God. What?
I mean, it ends that way, but it seems there's a complaining.
Yeah, but that's wrong. That's wrong. That's the whole lesson of Eve. That's shown to be wrong.
Yeah, the complaining is all right.
Complaining is okay. Yeah, you see, a person has to always kishen shem v'vachem al tov v'kach v'vachem al ra. Right, so therefore you can't, you're not allowed to complain. A person's not allowed to complain. Well, he didn't say why complain. He just said that the, he said it's a separate matir of a Tisha B'Av. They have a right to, korban habayis. Korban habayis. To literally complain. That's what he means. Say? What do you mean, new Masorah? Well, he wanted to extend it. He wanted to say that the that's the difference between before Chatzos and after Chatzos. That after Chatzos you have tefillah is Yud Gimel Midos, but before Chatzos there's no tefillah. But says some tefillosi. That's why you don't say Tzkabel before Chatzos. So he said why? Because before Chatzos is just complaining.
Midas
Adin
before, right?
Midas Adin. They wanted to say the Midas Adin is the, that's when you have the Midas Adin, that's when the only thing that we do is complain. Once you have Midas Rachman, then you can misspell. If you want to tie that in. Your last year's book, but elaborate on that, right?
Yeah.
A little differently. How do we explain? We explain it a little differently. We explain that that it's not really a complaint as such.
So we want this
absence of knowledge as a proper reaction, because the point is, because you're losing the greatest thing in the world. You're losing Migdash, right? So you can't accept it. See, Kishem Shem Baruch Malatav Kachem Baruch Malar is very good when it comes to personal. Personally, you could say that. There's no shame. Personal, whatever it is that a person loses in the way of the personal, he has no right to complain. But where it's the loss of the whole system, it's a loss related to the system, then he has to react that way. He has to react that way. The question is that God knows what he's doing. Yeah, but the point is, on his level, he has to. On his level, this is the only proper reaction.
Well, how would you characterize
the reaction at that moment is despair, because everything that's valuable to him is being taken away. That's really valuable, truly valuable.
You know,
there he has a right to to despair. There he has a right to despair.
Other than
we had was because it does say, it gives reasons why we lost it. It says that the Me'avonos Khan, it says in Echa, the reasons. So it's not really as if the we don't know the reason. We do know the reason. But the thing is, we can't tolerate the situation. That's what it is.
But there's no.
I don't know. It's hard for me to gather from what he's saying. I don't know.
You said something about.
You have a right to. So we have a right to despair. To despair.
The situation. Otherwise, we're right to
express. That's right. Otherwise, you have no right to express the despair. Rational. It's the only rational reaction for you, based upon your framework. That should be your reaction, based upon your framework. Isn't that what he said? That was the last time.
Yeah. How did the feeling of Moshe Rabbeinu was Eicha Asal Avadi?
Eicha Asal Avadi?
That doesn't...
Why is it too connected? Question show me after Eicha Asal. What is really the most outstanding thing about the kiddush? I mean, okay, I read a lot of terrible stories there. Read a lot of terrible stories there, and a lot of things that happened there. Horrible tragedies. It makes a person very upset, very sad. And the question is, though, I mean, what is the purpose of this? And what's the purpose? I mean, there's a loch of the meshtatef betzar shel havero. Somebody has a tragedy occurs. That's all the velus. Supposed to be meshtatef betzar. You're supposed to like be part of, join the person in the tzar. Really, as if it's yours, as if it's your personal grief. That's a loch of chesed. Supposed to identify with the person. If you don't, the Ram says you're an achzor. Psychologically, there's something wrong with you. But the philosophically too. But the but over here, I mean, these people. I mean, just try to understand it. These people are gone. It happened many generations ago. No doubt. I mean, anyone that was there at the time would certainly. I mean, if he has normal feelings, would certainly be broken observing one of the tragedies that occur. But what is the archi of today? Just wondering, what is Achiv today vis-a-vis those tragedies? How are we supposed to feel about it? I mean, is it like, is it, I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, trying to understand what the, what is the proper attitude over here towards those tragedies? There's no purpose, those people are gone, so there's no purpose in terms of, right. So what are we supposed to? Are we supposed to? When you read the kiddush, you can't help yourself. You just you read the kiddush, so sad. I mean, you feel like crying. You know, it's a natural reaction. But that's a reaction. But the question is, what is the? How are we supposed to look at it? I mean, halachically, how are we supposed to look at this? Are you supposed to just, you know, involve yourself in that, those terrible events that occurred, or? Is there some other purpose in doing it? And I'm just trying to understand what is the view halachically with regard to these tragedies. You know what I'm saying? Rather than just accept it emotionally, it'd be nice if we could have some type of a direction with regard to how we should direct our emotions in this area. What is the purpose and how does it work? And I mean, it's just I really like to clarify the point. That would be nice if we could clarify it. Yeah. And so, right? More about the...
That's true. Also, personal tragedy.
Personal tragedy. In other words... I have a read about the concentration camps, things like that. I mean, there's millions of stories that, you know, you can really could break a person up emotionally, make them sick. Is there, should we do that or not? I mean, is there a key in doing such a thing or not? Yeah.
It seems to me that...
I certainly could have added a few of those here, I mean, in terms of tragedy, there's no doubt about it. What are you supposed to feel by Arzei Levana? I mean, of course, you read about it, I mean, you cry. But what is the purpose of directing your emotions to that? Right. See, I think that the there's one thing in all these kinis. The one thing in all these kinis, especially, I mean, that's why Arzei Levana is put in there. Right? Maybe there's a reason why they put it in big print. Because the one thing, and then you have later, you have the story with the Bain and Basa Rishmal Kain Gadol, right? That story over there. It breaks you up when you read it, you know? Now the thing is, what is really the what is the purpose of this? One thing, I think the one thing is the pursue that further, because you have to understand how will this lead to the
proper
appreciation. It has to be tied in there somehow, right?
Right.
Now the I think what does it show? What do all these kinyanim show? It shows one thing. It shows you that there is no protection of Torah. That's what it shows. In other words, even these great chachamim, and they have Beinu Basa Rishmol Kain Gadol. I mean, one would imagine that the stature of these people, their kedusha, should prevent something like that from happening to them. There should be studied that there should be some type of a protection that Torah should offer or should confer upon those that partake of it. Yeah, and to show that there's nothing, that there is no difference whatsoever between them and anyone else, that they can be treated like anybody else without any. Without any protection, without any difference, is really the break of it. Really, the break. That's really the breakdown. That's what I think the. That's what the breakdown is. What? But the point is, in other words, Ashgach, the Ashgach. There should be some that a person like Arzei Alvanon, I mean, Rabbi Akiva, and then it says after everyone. It says that like after Rabbi Akiva, it says that Baskol said that Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva Gufach Tar B'chal Minei Torah, right? Then you have Yotza Baskol, that was on who? On Rabbi Yosheva Vasefer. Shaloi Niach Klum Mitaras Moshe L'Shamra. Each one it shows you that he was like the highest level of Kedusha, and yet he wasn't spared from the physical destruction, total physical destruction. In other words, there was a removal, complete removal of the Hashgacha. Complete removal of the Ashgach.
That expresses the idea
of the right. How is it possible? That's right. How is it possible? And the story with Rabbi Shmuel Kain Gadol and his son and his daughter, same type of thing. Now, how is it possible? And you see, they cried all night. They recognized each other, so they cried all night. That how is it possible that each one was from Zerah Aaron and Akain? How is it possible they should be in such a situation to reduce to that level? You see. So the what?
Most of them really the regular people.
What do you mean the regular? Well, even I want to say that it's all the same.
Really,
the theme is all the same. Even the regular people. When you're dealing with the regular people, you're dealing with them in the same framework. That goal, so Yehudim Eoni, in the Eicha. It's because of the fact that it's Klal Yisrael that it's the tragedy. It's not just a tragedy you identify with some people. It's the idea that it was Klal Yisrael. If it was Goyim, well, Goyim are also people. Ethan Rachim on a Goy also. Right, but by a guy, it wouldn't be this problem would not exist. It would be a terrible thing. You know, you feel sorry for them, but it wouldn't be the feeling, the impossibility of the situation. The impossibility of the situation is that those who partake of the Torah should be completely stripped, devoid of any type of hashgacha. That's what the kinnis are about. And each tragedy is each tragedy, of course, I mean, like you mentioned, to reach the emotions in particular cases where it makes a person, reaches the person's emotions. But the what reaches the emotions is, if the, what is the key of reaching the emotions is, that the tragedy is that there is no that there is no remnant, no ounce of hashgach. That's the tragedy. How could it happen? Means what is the how could it happen? How is it possible that there shouldn't be a trace of hashgacha? Where in Klal Yisrael, where the among Klal Yisrael, where there's kedusha, where there's the kedusha of Klal Yisrael. So Arz Elavonon is the worst because that's the Gdol Yisrael. You know what I mean?
What?
That's really the tragedy. So the tragedy isn't just a personal tragedy. It's our people and this, but it's always the tragedy is the fact that we are the ones that are related to the to God through Torah Kedusha, and yet there's no sign of any hashgacha. But it's always besulosai uvachorai. It means the ones that were the belong to Klal Yisrael that are related to the that should be related to the Ashgacha. This shouldn't be able to happen. It shouldn't be able to happen. That's why I think all the tragedies are tied into this day, because that's the theme of the day. The theme of the day is the absence of the Ashgacha. That's the God removed himself completely from the scene.
So much stress on the things,
rather than the Chorban. Because it's true. Because the answer, because the Chorban really represents, it says, the Chorban represents the Vashimosi as Migdashecha. When it represents the, that represents the removal of the Ashkacha. Let me just see if it's, I think that's the way it is in the Torah. So therefore, when there's mikdash, then there's shechina, right? When there's no mikdash, it means that's the removal of the shechina. That represents the removal of the shechina. So therefore, that's why the removal of shechina is really tied with mikdash. And all those tragedies have the same common theme. The extent of the tragedy is not just to arouse our emotions with people of the past, but the emotions that are aroused, their fulfillment, find their fulfillment in the fact that they partake of the tragedy, which is that there's absolutely no hashgacha. It's like the klal in the end of Torah. Vanochi haster haster panei b'yom lo kol harosh yavo. That the God removed himself completely. As that then doesn't matter. Tamach chacham, a gadol, a tzaddik. All treated the same. This is not worth anything more than their physical flesh. That's it. What? That's
a
tragedy.
That's a tragedy. Any tragedy of that magnitude.
You mean like the 6 million? Absolutely. That's right. That's what the. For that, there's a special. That's really what the. As a matter of fact.
I think that's why he said that. Really, Tishabov is the
label. It fits in with what he said. It fits in with what he said very nicely. The whole scheme. You know? Then the Gemara says that really it's halacha is what is the dalat samos today? Is it chiyuv or is it a minig? Right. So what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara says that it's not the way the Torah has it. The Torah says the chiyuv midin neviim. Why? Because the Torah says that kara lime moed. Thing with Zechariah, where he asked, should I fast on the days after the second base of Mikdash? Should I fast on those days, right? So what was the answer? So the answer was that those days will be Sasson al Simcha, right? So the Gemara learns out from a double Lashon over there that it's a Karam Moed, the Gemara says, Ikri Moed, Vikri Tzom. Right? Ikri Moed, Vikri Tzom. So the Gemara says that depends. Where there's a... the Gemara says depends. So therefore the Torah concludes that it has a din of midin and neviim. because apparently the whole idea of Ratzu Nisan and Ratzu Ein Nisan, that's all part of the terms that it was set, that was set up over there. So now since we're all Ratzu, and he says, as a matter of fact, the Torah says in Kal Vachomer, certainly Bisman Hazeh, that you can't break away from it anymore. See, Adim Moshe Mashiach, he says, Ashi Yibonu Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, you see that it's that once they decided, that's part of the Iker Takana Sanavim, right? That's what he says. Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. Beis has a kasha. He says, what is the kasha that they have? You got a Torah? You got a Torah? You can have a Torah. The tragedy reflects further the idea that there's no the extent of the removal of the Hashgacha. So every nuance of the tragedy shows you how far it's removed. You know what I mean? That's the purpose. Well, yeah, completely. But the point is that how far you can only know how removed it is by studying the events that took place and seeing the extent. You know what I mean? That's the only way you could know. You know what I'm saying?
This goes along with what we said.
It's really nothing.
Breaking down completely. Is the person that they really think there is a sense of
something that there is? That's a different idea. I'm just saying that the... let's see. You know what daf is on? You have no idea what that is. Take a look. Absolutely not. That's the...
Is that in line that it was completely Midas Adinah?
Yeah.
It wasn't Midas Arach?
I was wondering about that. That was the first thing, right? That was the first Tisha B'Av. I was always wondering about how that ties in. Because it says that they were Kaveya. They were Kaveya Tisha B'Av. What?
I just came across it last week.
Atem B'chisem B'chir.
Lie down in the grave every Tisha B'Av and if you
got
up.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
No,
that's how they died out.
Yeah.
Every year. What was there again? They would lie down on
every
the
Tisha B'Av night. They would dig a grave.
That's right.
They'd lie down in it. And if you got up, then you knew you were going to live till the next year.
Till next year.
And then the 40th year,
they were all
the
gone.
Door stopped dying. Well, it took them until the 15th to know that they didn't make a mistake.
I guess certain situations, that's not
okay.
Also.
What's that?
The guy knew he was going to live another year. And they all have b'chiyah shachina, right? You cry for nothing, and I'll make a real cry out of it. So that was really, it must be, that means, if that's the case, that you could trace the whole thing back to that imperfection over there that existed then. That has to be the root of it. It's just like the cheta ego, right? That the cheta ego is always existent. The Gemara says, "Yom pakti yifakati lehem eschatosam." That it's always there. The cheta ego. Cheta ego is fine. Cheta ego is really the attachment to the physical, avodah zara, superstition, all kinds of different things, different expressions. What is this? It'd be nice if we could understand what is this theme over here. There's another theme over here. That's it.
And what's
the source? That's the tragedy. Tragedy is that's the thing that's hard to face. And with all the Torah, with all everything, there's nothing that couldn't occur. And each tragedy shows you the extent of how you see that there was nothing that was. Yeah, but the.
That's true. If they were fully following the Torah to, you know, if the whole alarm was, then they wouldn't have us, so we do it back here.
The tragedy of the hood. That's what the tragedy was, that it happened.
Right.
That's what happened.
But I mean, the Yom as a whole was
what? Ikri Moed Vikri Tzom. So the Gemara says that the... Beis Yosef asks the question. What's the Gemara's kash? Ikri Moed Vikri Tzom. It's very simple. Ikri Moed Lasid Lavo and Ikri Tzom and Ikri Tzom Bezman Hazeh. See? So the answer is So the answer is, the Gemara's question is, really, why should the same day be considered a moed in its own? What kind of a concept is this? Right? What kind of a concept is this that the same day should be considered a moed in its own? So the answer is like this. See, the answer is you have to understand what is the concept of the Dalatan. What kind of days are the Dalatanesim? What kind of days are they? The Dalatanesim really, you have different Yom Tov. You have different Yom Tov. You have the Yom Tov represent different ideas. Like Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Kippur, Shabbos. Over here, so there has to be something missing, something left for a Tainus to fill in. Tainus has to fill in something, some idea that wasn't taken care of. What does a Tainus fit in? The Tainus fills in the idea of the day of the Hashgacha. It's a reflection on the state of the Hashgacha. That's what it is. See? It's a reflection on the state of the Hashgacha. How the Hashgacha relates to Klal Yisrael. Alright? That's the concept of Tainus. It's a separate day. Now that's why the Gemara says, that's why the Pasuk says, the loss of love, it'll be a simcha. Because that day is designated as the day that reflects the state of the Hashgacha. So now, until now, it's a tainus, because it's bad. But in the future, it will be a sasan al simcha. Because in the future, the Hashgacha will be in our favor, will be with Klal Yisrael. So then it's going to be a day of a simcha. See? But the day of a tainus, the tainus itself is defined as a day in which a person is supposed to reflect upon the Hashgacha. That's the definition of the day. Now, since it's a day of the Hashgacha, it's either or. Either it has to be bad, or else it has to be good. Now, it's an interesting thing. Gemara says that it depends on the state, bizmanazeh. Like the Gemara says, that if it's a time where there's shmad, so then definitely you have to fast. There's no question about it. If it's a time where there's no shmad, then it depends. If there's a migdash, so then it's sasan al simcha. If there's no migdash, so it depends on the people. Ratzu misana and ratzu ay misana. Funny kind of a thing. What kind of an in-between thing is this? So one thing you see like this, you see that it's not just the hashgacha of the past, but it's the hashgacha of the present also. So if it's the... there's two hashgachas. There's the historic hashgacha, and then there's the present hashgacha. So if the present hashgacha is good, so then it's sasan al-simcha. If the present hashgacha is not good, it's bad, so then it's a day which is... In other words, it's a day which is kavua for the recognition of the hashgacha, the way the hashgacha exists, how the hashgacha is. Okay? So you have to reflect, you have to take a look at the situation. Now, if it's shmad, so then it's objectively bad. See, why is shmad objectively bad? Because shmad really represents all the ideas we were discussing in the kinnis. Shmad represents the concept that there is no more protection of the hashgacha. So I don't mean to say if it's midas ad-din we don't know. We don't know. Whatever it is, but the point is the same phenomenon. The phenomenon is that there's nothing that can't occur. So there's nothing that can't occur. So that being the case, see, that's the idea of shmad. Shmad means that it has to be bad. Shmad is that's what shmad represents. If Migdash exists, that means you have the highest level. Then it's a yantar. Then that day has to be yantar. But let's say there is no shmad, and there is no Migdash neither, right? So then it depends upon the door. Ratzu misana, ratzu ay misana. What it means, I think, not in the sugya right now, but I think what it means is that it depends upon the bezin has to decide. The bezin of the door has to decide. The bezin of the door has to decide what is the best thing for the door? What the best thing for the door is? If the door has to, if it's best for the door to fast, you mean because there is a lack here, they should reflect on the lack that there is no Mikdash, or whether it's not necessary to impose such a tainus. The best, but they didn't. Bezin, right? As I was saying. So then the Bezin has to decide which way is best. Right? Then, no, if there's no Mikdash, it can't be a Simcha. But either Tzom or nothing. Then the question can be nothing. Nothing. There's no need to reflect. There's no need to reflect upon the historic Hashgacha that we're lacking in the Mikdash. That we're lacking in the Mikdash. Do we have to miss out on the fact that we're lacking in Mikdash? I guess the Bezin has to decide on the door. See? If the door really is a door where they're Lomdei Torah and they're involved in the Chachma and everything, so there's no need to. But if they're not, so then they have to, then the fact that we don't have the Mikdash means that we're missing the most valuable means of improving ourselves. So then it's a Chorban. So then they have to fast. And that's why it says that we're Makabal already in our generation, Tul Yimos HaMashiach, Tul Bias HaMikdash, Tul Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So the Makabal that the till that time is always going to be fasting. Why? Because we're not on the level. We're not on the level. We're on the low level. On the level where the Chorban HaBayis really affects us. The fact that there is no bias. The fact that there is no means. It's a it's something which affects the whole klal. There's a whole distortion in the klal because of the fact that we're not on the level that we have a Mikdash. So that's why it's always a that's why we're makabel that it's always going to be a faster. But that's the idea. That's the concept of Ikri Moed. That's the concept of Ikri Moed. Ikri Moed means that it was designated as a day. You see, it's an interesting thing. You know, from Rosh Chodesh of Mishenichnas of the Matin Besimcha. How do they learn Pshat in the pasuk? Karolim Moed. Is this from Karolim Moed? Lishba
Bachurai. That's how they learn it from Rosh Chodesh.
That what? Because Korolai. Okay, 1 second. Right. Fixed time. He established fixed time. So it means to say that God established for the Jewish nation a fixed time for tragedies.
That
what? So why is Miyazan another for us? It means that God, the Ashgacha, wanted that the tragedy, like people say, like from a Shredish, so you should have a din with a guy. That you shouldn't go to court with a guy, because it's a bad time for the Jews. Bad time. It's a bad time. What does it mean? It means that it was a time in which the Ashgacha was removed. In which the Ashgacha was removed. But the God saw fit to do it in the same time, in the same period, same time period. Why? In order that people should have a consciousness of the concept. So in order that people should have a consciousness of the concept. So that's why you don't go to a din with a guy during that time, in order to be conscious of the idea of the... It was given as man. See, it was given as man. It wasn't just done arbitrarily. Was given as man. Why was it given as man? Because as man makes a person conscious of the concept. So this is the Zman that's... it's not that the Zman is responsible. That would be a superstitious thing, to say that the Zman is responsible. It's a bad time. It's not a bad time. On the contrary, you see, it says that that's going to be a day of Sasan HaSimcha. If it was a superstitious thing, it would always remain a bad time. On the contrary, you see that this time will be a day of Simcha. So it's not the Zman that's goreh. But the fact is that the Ashgacha saw fit to express it in terms of Zman. And that's why, in order that there should be a consciousness among the nation of the idea. That's why it has this one. And that's why we don't go to a din with a guy during that time, because to represent that idea, that concept, that awareness. Mishenichnas av is mamad and besimcha. It really is so. That means it's part of the awareness of the idea. The idea was given over. It was expressed. You see, the Ashgacha gave the time for this thing. So it was expressed in that time. So therefore, we do these things which indicate that the concept, the consciousness of the time. If since you see, the Ashgacha chose time as a factor, because he wanted us to be aware of this concept. So therefore, we do these other things also. Act as if the Hashgacha is against us every year, all the time during that time, because of the fact that we should remind ourselves of the it's following the will of the Hashgacha, in order to remind ourselves of the concept, consciousness, time. Time is tied to the time consciousness. That's what it is.
Saying you're defining moment.
Time.
So why?
Difficult to understand. Because we're saying that this time is designated. In other words, the day, it's the Tanesim, the concept of Tanesim is the days of reflection of the Ashgacha. Right? Now, it means to say that we know, we feel secure, that eventually the Ashgacha will return in our favor.
So and that's
Avtocha. So therefore, the moment you designate a day as the day of the Ashgacha, so it has a twofold concept. In the future, you know that in the future it's the day of Simcha. So the designation of the day inherently carries with it the concept of Simcha, and yet we have to express the concept of Avelus because of the fact that that realistically up to this point it's Avelus. But the concept of Simcha is always inherent in the day, since it's defined as the day of the Ashgach. See? So that's why you can't say Tachnun. You don't say Tachnun in order to show that the day is designated as the day of the Ashgach. You can't say Tachnun. Because it's a day that will eventually, we know that eventually there will be a day in which the Ashgach will express itself in our favor. So you can't say, so it's impossible to say Tachnun. Saying Tachnun, what?
Why is Tachnun? How is that expressed in Tachnun?
Oh, why Dafka through Tachnun?
Yeah, and like Avinu Kain also, I assume, also is because of...
That's a good question. What's the... well, that's all part of extension of Tachnun, right? How do we define Tachnun? Remember how we define Tachnun? We gave a definition of Tachnun once. Tachnun is that you're asking Matnas Chinam. You're asking God for Matnas Chinam, for nothing. That's all Tachnun. That's what we said. Right? In the whole Tachnun, we say that. That God should do it. Aseilam Anshemecha. That's the whole Tachnun. So I say Laman Shemechem. Lo Laman Neinu Laman Cho. The whole, if you look through the whole, Vurachom and the whole thing, all the Tachnun over there, it's always Laman Cho. It means that we in other words, we're not asking God for ourselves because we don't deserve it. But we're saying in the Kiddush Ma'a Gadol. Laman, what does Laman Cho mean? It means that because of Kiddush Ma'a Gadol, he should do it. Right? Or in Echol Mikdash Chashomim Laman Hashem. Laman Hashem. In other words, it's for his will, right? So since we say that it will be built up in the future, God's Ashkacha will be expressed. So there's no need for the Tefillah. There's no need for the Tefillah. In other words, the Tefillah is that he should do it for his will. But as far as the day is concerned, yes, we know that day will represent the time when that will occur. So there's no need to ask for it when it already happened, so to speak, in the future. You know, in other words, that will take place. So there's no need to ask for it. There's no need for an act of tefillah for something that we know will definitely take place, because that definitely is going to occur. He will do it for his name. He will do it.
What about a regular day of something?
What?
What about a regular yantar?
Meanwhile, you don't say Tachnun in a regular
Yantif? Why is it against the nature of the day?
Say Tachnun in a Beis Avel also. Yeah. But they say why? Because they say because the Midas Adin is against the house of the Avel already, so they shouldn't add.
It's like the Mar, that's right.
Is that in general?
Mm-hmm.
See, why is Tachnun a sad thing, really? Because Tachnun represents the fact that you've exhausted all your ability for Tefillah. That's what it means, right? What?
No cards left.
Right. No cards, right. That's why you say that's what it's Tefillah. right. You've used up all your benefits. I can't. You have no right to ask God for anything anymore. Now the only thing you're asking God is for His name, His will, but not for yourself. You don't deserve anything. That's really what Tachlan is. So on a day of Simcha, you can't say such a tefillah. Day of Simcha, it's against the whole idea of Simcha. Simcha means v'samachta lifnei Hashem lekecha. V'samachta lifnei Hashem lekecha means that you join in Yegashay v'rachat Hashem lekecha, means you join in that you really are worthy of the brachas, and that's right, the brachas, right, the brachas even on Shabbos, I mean, you can't. It's as long as a person is related to God, so then you can't say he's totally stripped of any value, that he doesn't deserve anything. So that's why it's against, really. Tachanun is really against the idea of the. It's the opposite of the idea of a yenta for a Shabbos, where a person is related to God.
So really, on Tisha,
I'm unrelated anymore. I don't have any value. But still, I'm asking God, based upon the fact that His will is such that it should occur.
So
could be both. I'm not so sure what I said before. In other words, that because it definitely will happen, it could be this. You mean because specifically, or it could be because it has a Chal Hashem Yantif also. In order to demonstrate the Chal Hashem Yantif, because the day of the Ashgacha has to also have a Chal Hashem Yantif. So therefore, you can't do it just like any other Yantif. Because in other words, Hashem Asid. Hashem Asid will be Yantif. So that's why they removed the Tachanun from the day in order to demonstrate the other aspect of the day. But the truth of the matter is, it's not just the other aspect of the day that it will be. The fact that it will be is a part of our reflection on the Ashgacha right now. That's the important. In other words, okay, right. The fact that since the day, it has to have a double designation. One part of the designation we experienced. The other part of the designation we know we will experience. See? So that's why the day, the moment it's defined as a day of the reflection of the Ashgacha, it has to have an aspect of Simcha too. Of course, we don't experience the Simcha, because we only go by what we've experienced until now, the history that we lived through. But the idea is definitely there. The idea definitely has to be there. Right? And that, because that idea is there, that's why you don't say Tachanun. That's why it's a double. The day has a double frame. It has the frame of reality that we lived until now, but the frame of our knowledge and our conviction that it will be a day of Simcha. It's the other framework, and that's why you don't say Tachanun to show it's a Grimoire. That's why you have the double thing. Why they broke it up in terms of Tachanun? That makes sense, because the Tachanun is, you never say Tachanun on a day in which they have Simcha. And the night of Seder. That's right. Night of Seder, it's the night of Seder, you say, that's right, the second part of Seder is Gula Asida. You say Halal on Gula Asida. Say Halal on the Gula Asida, because that means the moment you think of Mitzrayim, you have to reflect upon the Gula. After you get finished with Tzitzis Mitzrayim, you have to follow the line of reasoning. Tzitzis Mitzrayim was the purpose to build a nation. The next line of reasoning is, yeah, but what about the future of the nation, the ultimate objective of the nation? So it takes you right into how on the Masa Mashiach. Follow straight through. Very nice.
Because of the demonstration
of the Ashgacha. That's very good. That's very good. That's right. It's exactly the opposite. That's very good. Because Purim really is the demonstration of the Ashgacha.
That's
right. So therefore, right. So therefore, you should go in that time, right? It says it should, doesn't it?
Yes.
Right. That's right. That's exactly what it is. You're right. That's very good. That's the contradistinction between the two. To reflect, in other words, apparently it's God's will that there should be a time consciousness about the idea should be a part of our calendar. Idea should be a part of the calendar. So this way, the person is conscious of it. Otherwise, nobody would ever think about it. That's right. Very good. It's excellent. So Shemi Shnitzad is the other way. Cheta Meraglim has to do with, apparently the Cheta Meraglim is tied into all the tragedies that ever occurred to Klal Yisrael. That one breach. It's one big breach.
Cheta
Meraglim was that the Cheta Meraglim, he says, was going to Rambam. What? Yeah, that's how it expressed itself. But what was wrong? What was wrong with them? The Ramban says they got scared.
Fear.
Fear. cowardice.
Well, what does he mean by that? Because
he says they were overcome emotionally by fear.
Yeah, why should we kill a time? Was there fear per se?
The reason why they were so afraid was, I think, because of the, I'm not sure if the Ramban says it, I think, I know the Ibn Ezra definitely says it, was because they were slaves. In other words, since they were slaves, they were broken people,
right.
And that's why they had to wait until that generation, died out. See? That generation had to die out because they were emotionally broken people. Slave mentality.
Couldn't
overcome it. A slave is a person that's totally dependent on somebody else. He's like a child. It's like an extended childhood. The farthest thing, the most difficult thing for him to do is to go and battle against somebody else. Because to go into battle against somebody else requires a tremendously strong ego. And he's going to take on, he's going to destroy the other figure. You see? And the totally dependent figure is dependent on everybody. He's afraid of. He's always afraid of everybody because he thinks when he sees a person, he feels right away that he needs this person for something. That's his natural reaction. A person who is a strong ego, on the contrary, everybody that he sees is just the opposite. Everybody he sees is a means to utilize for his own ego. That's the other extreme, you know. But the two emotions are two different. The two different extremes. That's why the Torah says that a person who wants to remain an eved. Ozen Shashoma Al Har Sinai Kalibine Yisrael Avadim. So Kalibine Yisrael Avadim means that Yitzias Mitzrayim wasn't just a nice God of Mitzrayim and now you keep the mitzvahs. No, it was really a personality change. It was supposed to be a personality change. It was supposed to be a change from the dependency on man and a freedom, a total removal from the concept of the dependency on man to the dependency on God. Dependency on God is a different kind of a thing. It's a different kind of an emotion. It's not a plain transference. It's a different kind of a thing. It's a different kind of an experience. You need chachma, you need Torah, you can't just run into that experience by, see, that's what Goyim do. Goyim try to transfer one emotion to another. That's the ignorant. Yeah, see? But in Yadis, it's a whole system of chachma until a person really reaches a level where he has the proper relationship with God, that's why Yitzias Mitzrayim was a total change, mental change. So apparently the Cheder Meraglim was they couldn't successfully make that transition. They couldn't do it. There were still traces left. That's why they couldn't really fight, because fighting requires a strong ego. They were still dependent egos. They still could. They weren't able to do it.
So
that's what according to Ramban. What?
One is simply a cheshbon of the.
One. By natural law, if I'm not mistaken, by natural law, we had a right one. I remember now. We had a right. By natural law, they would have won. I think we said that naturally they would have won. If they would have used their chachman, they would have used everything they had, they would have been able to do it. But they couldn't do it. See? They couldn't. And that's why they had the ma'pilim later. See, the ma'pilim was the other emotional reaction. In other words, they said, no, now we'll go.
Yeah.
See, that was the other emotion. That was the emotion to try to relate to God like a person. That was the emotion where I said, no, this is not going to be successful. Now, it's not just the emotion it's not that God wanted them to be dependent on Him, that's already anthropomorphic. A person does that. Then already he's related to God like to a person. That's bad already. See? It was supposed to be a whole change of relationship. Whole different freeing, but the first step was to free himself from the dependency of man. But a man should be, that's really a real Ben Charon, is a person that's free from the dependency of man. It's the all the manas basadam is in the benchmark time. That's the only happy state. That's the only happy state of a person. A person's free, he's not a dependent. It's not dependent. So they couldn't do it apparently. Apparently they weren't able to do it, the Meraglim. That really has to be the chait. According to Ramban, for sure. And according to Ibn Ezra too. That's what Ibn Ezra explains also. Says that was their weakness. They weren't able to do it. They didn't have the strength because they were slaves. So that's why the next generation was able to do it. That generation couldn't do it. So if that's the case, that's the case. So that's the way, that's what the chay was. They couldn't really free themselves from the dependency on man. Now, so where does that lead us insofar as the Korban HaBayis and all the other tragedies that occurred?
Well, maybe it's possible to say.
I'll tell you what it relates to. According to the Rambam, is beautiful. According to the Rambam and the Mora, is beautiful. If we could be permitted to utilize the Rambam and the Mora, we could tie it in very nicely. Because the Rambam and the Mora, see, he has the Rambam and the Mora. What's really unusual about the way the Rambam shows the Ashgacha in the Mora and the Mora Nevuchim? And that's something that the most of the world couldn't tolerate. The Rambam's idea of Ashgacha. That went against a lot of people's grain. Even though there's Ramban and Chumash that says practically the same thing. But Ramban and Chumash, nobody really bothers too much. But the Rambam is very bad. What is bad about the Rambam, really? That people can't tolerate the Rambam's idea of Hashgacha. What's bad about the Rambam is that the Rambam makes the Hashgacha into a system, like anything else. A system that works according to Chachma. And that's, yeah, it's like a scientific system. It's God relates to man under certain conditions he doesn't. It does not have anything to do with the person's desire, emotional desire to have God relate to him. He could cry for God from day till night. Doesn't mean a thing. Because according to the objective system, he's simply not in the wavelength. He's not within the wavelength, not within the framework of God. That's it. God is Gam Kisabas Filadina Shemaya. Nothing to do with it. But of course, people take those psukim in an emotional way. But the Rambam came out. I mean, the Rambam did disclose some of the secrets of the Torah. And the Rambam came out with the Ashgacha as a science. That's what the Rambam came out with. That Ashgacha Hashem is a science no different than any other Chachma. Of course, different in terms of the subject matter, but not different in terms of approach, in terms of how it operates. That's right. A man, that's why the Rambam says, a man who's involved in thought is close to the Ashgacha. A man who's not involved in thought is distant from the Ashgacha. No matter what that man does when he's distant, doesn't make a difference. This is the given system. This is the given system. So really, the transition from being dependent upon man to being dependent upon God involves a totally different, it's a different, they have a term in philosophy, Weltanschauung, you know? It's a term, it's a good term. What? It's a different worldview, it's a different mental worldview, you know what I mean? It's a totally different state of mind, totally different phenomena. Now, the whole purpose of the Torah is for a person to graduate. Well, that was at Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Tzitzis Mitzrayim was from the dependency on man, on people, right, to a dependency on God, which is a different kind of a Weltanschauung, a different kind of a what would the word be? Scope, right? Scope, outlook, right? So they weren't able to make that transition. They weren't able to make that transition, and the reason why, really, the Ashgacha has failed us in all these cases, is because of the fact that we weren't able to make that transition. That's why the first Mikdash was Avodah Zarah. That's certainly. Avodah Zarah is just an attempt to reestablish the original state of dependency. That's what Avodah Zarah really is. And Matnas Chinam was a more sophisticated one than the second Mikdash. And Sinas Chinam is a more sophisticated form of the first one of Avodah Zarah. But nevertheless, it's still the same idea. It's still the same idea. Why? Because Sinas Chinam shows that the person is involved in the petty emotions. That's what Sinas Chinam shows. He still hasn't reached the objective. He's not a person living in the objective world. He still is involved in the petty world.
It's like a sibling rivalry.
Yeah, sibling rivalry. Exactly. The sin of schinah means what a person projects onto others, his own. That's what sin of schinah means, for nothing. He doesn't like this guy. He doesn't like his personality or something, because of some unconscious thing that he associates. He projects from himself. He projects onto somebody else. It means he's still a person who is really on a high level. Like we spoke about the person who was on a level who could be dog on a churban. He's a person. He has an interesting thing. As a Rashi in last week said, in Rashi and Devarim. Rashi and Devarim. Let's see if I can find it. So the Rashi says that that Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't in Devarim. It was in Pinchas. Shem Lemar. Yifkar Hashem Alkei Ruchos L'chol Basa Isha La'ida. So let me see. So Rashi says, Elokei Ruchos. So he says, why does it say the God of the Ruchos? Elokei Ruchos. What is Elokei Ruchos? Moshe Rabbeinu was in Pinchas. It's in Pinchas, what do you call it? Chof Zayin, Tesvav Tezayin. So it says, God should appoint to which God? The God of the Ruchos. Why does God of the Ruchos have to do anything? So he says, Loma nema, amalafan, rebanishlan, goliv yadua lafanecha, daito shel kolecha decha. You know everybody's das, everybody's mentality. Ve'inan domen zelazeh. And they're not similar, their mentality is not similar one to another. Minei aleihem manik shehei sovel kol echad ve'echad lafi daita. Should appoint somebody that could tolerate each person's mentality. Every Meshugana. What does it mean, really? It means that the real manig is above this personality differentiation. We know there are different types of personalities. And in different cliques, you'll find that people click together based upon their different personalities. And one can't tolerate the other. But the manig has to be different. He must be able to tolerate even a personality that, according to his nature, would be totally abhorrent to him. Couldn't stand him. You know? But he must be able to tolerate him. Why? Because he's a man who understands, who has risen above the whole idea of personality. See? That itself has no meaning to him. And he's just a monig, is the man that objectively meters out to the people exactly what they need. And he's not involved in the particular types of personalities of the individuals. So that's a lekeia ruchais. Now, the person who is the person who relates to the ashgacha has to be an individual who ceases to operate on that infantile level. And it can live totally, it's a very high level, live totally on the objective level, to understand the ashgacha. The ashgacha relates to man in a certain way, at a certain time, under certain conditions. And this is the way, this is the law of the universe. To be able to understand that and to be able to live that way, that is the ultimate level. And a person, and all the whole Chorban, and the reason why Klal Yisrael doesn't have, or didn't have, and doesn't have, the benefits of the Ashgacha is because of the fact that the reason why they don't have the benefits of the Ashgacha is because they don't understand the Ashgacha and they don't relate to the Ashgacha in the proper way. And that's being on the level like the Rambam says. To be able to understand the Ashgacha and be able to relate to it properly. And that's why the whole, so therefore ties in what you started off saying, that the whole, all those kinis, really the tragedy, the kinis, what's the tragedy? Tragedy is that the Ashgacha was absent. There's no Ashgacha there. How is it possible? And why is there no Ashgacha? Because we don't relate to the Ashgacha properly. We don't understand the Ashgacha. And since we don't understand it, we don't relate to it properly, that's why it doesn't exist. And that's the reason for the Chorban. And where was the first step? First step was when they couldn't make the transition from Mitzrayim. First generation, they could not make that transition. They couldn't make the transition to the God to be dependent, a different kind of dependency on the God of the Ashgacha, and that to make that transition to God from the dependency on man. They couldn't make that transition. Since they couldn't make it, that was the night that was designated as the as the night of Tisha B'Av. It's an interesting thing that was the. That's the Atem B'Chisem B'Chiyah Shel Chinam. See, Bechiya Shalchina means it was a Bechi that wasn't a reality. It was for nothing, because of your crazy emotions. That was because you can't make the transition, you can't be in reality. That's the day that you'll always have that, you'll always have Tisha B'Av on that day. That was that God was Kaveya time. It means that God was Kaveya time. There should be a time consciousness of this Chet. And that time consciousness, that day and that calendar there is of. Tisha B'Av is the, that, yes. You see, like the Chazal say, that was a tremendous door. Don't be too quick to criticize that door, the door of Midbar.
Yeah. It's an easy thing.
To make
the transition,
and
they couldn't do it.
That's
it's
right.
Not such an easy thing.
Not such an easy thing. Because the Gemara calls them Dor Deya. And the Ram mentions one of, where's Ram mentioned somewhere? I forgot where it is. Ram mentioned. He mentions that what, that what a great level they're on? He mentions somewhere. And the Mori mentions? Much higher level, yeah. You see? You can begin to understand when you see Makabal Leonish. And you know, Makabal Leonish, that this is it. They didn't make it, and that's it. That's a tremendous level. They'll do that. Really, and you see what they and what they were supposed to do. Can you imagine going from two states where you're raised as a as an Evid, totally dependent upon people, and then to remove yourself to be have the idea of Mar Nevuchim? You have the Rambam's idea of the Ashgacha, to reach that level of the Ashgacha, I mean, it's like an almost impossible task.
Yeah,
see, that's why it was a Dor Deya. We weren't raised in that situation. That's why they couldn't do it. It was impossible. Apparently, it was, apparently they could have done it. Apparently, it was within their power of Bechira. But, what?
We have a happy thing.
I've served on Pesach. She put in his letters. He says, the average person goes from the mentality of his mother to the mentality of his wife. That's what he says. It's an interesting thing that he makes that statement. I never understood the importance of it, but it is psychologically, it's very, very profound. Very profound. Exactly. He hasn't gone too far. Very profound. Yeah. We say the whole kinnis is, we said the whole kinnis is, the lamentation. What do we care about all these stories? Right? How do we let these stories? These stories show the absence of the Ashgah.
Right.
Right.
And the sin.
And what is the reason why there's an absence of Ashgah? Because we can't. We don't understand the Ashgah. Because we don't relate intelligently to the Ashgah.
I mean, the tzaddikim did.
Oh, why those tzaddikim those in that specific situations? That we don't know. But it represents, to us it represents the idea. I mean, why Rabbi Kiva? I mean, I don't know. But to us it represents the idea. That nothing is sacred. Nothing could be, which, I mean, that I don't know God's Kishmanis. But the point is that the event represents that idea. Yes. Sinaschim is like he said, who said it? One of the guys, one of the guys mentioned it. It's a sibling rivalry. Sibling rivalry. Sibling rivalry means that the person is still involved in the subjective world. It's totally involved in the subjective world. Yeah. All the tragedies that call Israel. And one thing you see from the Gemara, you see that what is the big tragedy? It's not so much the Mikdash, because you see, even if there's no Mikdash, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Tainus. But what is it? Shmad. Shmad is the bad thing. So you see that the Shmad, why? Because the Shmad represents the power of the physical over the ideational. That's what it represents. That's what Shmad represents. There's no Migdash, bad, but it's not, it doesn't, it still doesn't mean if, as long as the Klal could learn and could live according to the ideas are not subdued. But the Jews represent the ideational nation. That's what they are. And Shemad represents the overpowering by the physical might, physical nation, subduing the ideational. That's why Shemad is the worst expression. So that's why you see also in the Migdash, he doesn't just talk about the Migdash. Besuba, Sayavachore, Hubashevi, and Yerushalayim, and the whole thing. It's Migdash is just one part of it. But the real tragedy is the tragedy of the nation. And that's why it goes through all tragedy. Bishlu, Nashon, Rachmoni, all these terrible things that occurred. Because that represents the total downtroddenness of the ideational nation. Probably Israel. Yeah, it's an unbelievable thing, huh? How will it be different in Masa Mashiach? See, you can see the weaknesses and the shortcomings of people. Why it's so difficult for them to live that way. Very hard thing. Very hard thing. Yeah.
So,
the way you should relate to Tisha B'Av is like this. That you, how, of course, you know, it's an interesting thing. In the Kinas, he does give reasons why it happened. It's not as if he doesn't give reasons why it happened. Because he says like this, he says, for instance, in the second Echa, all right? Echa sifatim rasha, saya shlichu chenege kisei kovat salam lichu. So it says, b'chalalam t'nai asher chozayim lachu. See that one?
Yeah.
It says, because they destroyed the, defiled the t'nai, the condition. That the chozai, that my neviim, agreed upon. V'nom im b'chukosai t'lecho. Right? Then it says, lama sarivu elai kulchem, this is from neviim, right? Chaskol adirechem, Amar Hashem, right? Miyedchem oisazos lachem. It's your fault. Bila shoftai b'matzos ifsom, with their own evil ideas, right? Ufanim histir mehem, Kishor avasasam, when he saw their crookedness. See? Vayumar lo'ovak mitram, lavisam, chelef anasati kishmechem be'itam. See? So you see, so it does give the reasons why these things occur. The pipe. But the tragedy is, it's really a tragedy. I think the real feeling towards Tisha B'Av is a tragedy that we're unable to rise to the true level. That's a tragedy. We're unable to rise to the true level. And because of the fact that we were unable to do it, that's why we lost out all the benefits. See, there has to be a tragedy. But the problem is, what's the problem? The problem is that most people can't do it. Why? Because most people are only concerned with their own personal lives. A person would be financially secure, have as much money as he wants, and his health, and his family, and his friends, and everything that he dreams about in life, he wouldn't worry too much about the problem. Because most people are rooted simply in the personal. See? But to be concerned about the Churban, it means to look at yourself in reality, as a part of a nation, a part of a group. And that really is what that's really what the individual's place is. And to see how, as a group, we failed, and how far, the extent of the failure. That's the tragedy. That's really the tragedy.
Is that what the term Weltschmelz?
Only against.
But an aloofness of character. And a little bit of higher character that a person should be able to look at himself as part of a nation that received the Torah and be able to feel a common bond with the nation and that we all failed. We all failed in reaching that level. And a person has to realize that we all failed means it's everyone's fault, including his own. It has to be. A failure is a group failure. A person has to sense that he is also failing as far as the group is concerned. But to sense a group failure requires a certain loftiness of character. A regular person can't do that. He's too rooted in himself. See? Has no right to be dog on the Churban. Most people, of course, and of course, the less knowledge you have, the farther away you are from any type of appreciation of anything in Yadis, including Tisha B'Av. You know? But a person who understands the idea of the Ashgach, understands what the Rambam explains, you know, and to him it's a reality. It's a reality just like the rest of, just like the scientific world. I mean, it's a reality as real as any other reality. Just like the atom bomb was dropped. I mean, it's as sure as could be that if the person would raise himself to a higher level and he'd be in line with the source of the universe, the source of Chachma, that he would have all those things that the Torah says. It's as sure as could be. And the more sure it is in his mind, of course, the greater the treasury. If a person doesn't, if it's, I wouldn't say he doesn't believe. I mean, because that's a very, that's a word that lends itself to a variation of degree. But I would say that if a person doesn't, if it's not real to a person, if it's not real to a person. And people believe in the Hashgacha, and they believe in Yom HaMashiach, and they, you know, they believe in the Binyan Beis HaMikdash and everything. But they believe in it, but it's not real. You know what I mean? It's not real because it's not apprehended by the same part of the person that apprehends reality. That's why it's not real. If it was apprehended by that part of the individual that apprehends reality, it would be as real as any other part of reality, as any other chachma. And then the person that it's very real, it's a tragedy, because he could see how he could have partaken of this, how the Klal Yisrael could have partaken of this. You see how it could have been, it really could have been. Then it's a tragedy. It's another reason why. You have to be a like the Rav said. You have to be a great person on a high level to be doing on the Churban HaBayis. You know what I mean? If it's not even a reality to the person that the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, it's not even. I mean, he believes in it, but it's not the same type of thing. And it's not so. It's not being apprehended by that part of the mind. The tragedy is reduced. You see, by the same proportion, the same ratio as the reality of the. Of what could have been, okay? And that's why it requires a certain type of, a certain level of a person, different level of a person. A lot of reasons why you require a different level of a person. You notice the Rav said when he said a great person in many ways. I think he said, right?
Yeah, many aspects.
Many aspects, because there are many aspects over here that are involved, and the person that has a right to be doeg requires all those aspects. It's like one picture that comes together. You know what I mean? The reality of what could have been, the identification with the tzibur, the understanding of the Ashgacha. There's a lot of different areas that have to come together before he could really be a dog on the Churban. Of course, we can't allow the Hamon to walk away and not worry about the Churban at all. So that's why you have a Zman, Allah Zman set aside, but that's not really the ultimate level. Because Pesach only has to do with the Hashgacha that was, everything's Hashgacha, has to do with the inception of Klal Yisrael, a specific expression of the of God's will. But the Tainus is the constant relationship between the Hashgacha and the Jew. A constant relationship. That's why it says, Eish Shmad, it's a Chiyav. That you don't have in the Yom Tov yet. You have to fill in at the time what the relationship is. It's a specific thing. Pesach is the first Gula. That's a specific, of course, it's Hashgacha, but it's a specific expression of the Hashgacha, the establishment of a nation. Tainus is the constant relationship every day, every year. Constant relationship, reflection on a relationship between the Hashgacha and the Klal. And it also carries with it, it's like an interesting thing. It has two boundaries, ends, and the middle. The first boundary is the historic Churban. That's one side. Then on the other side, on the future side, is bounded by the Masa Mashiach, by the Simcha. And in between, it's the constant relationship that exists between Klal Yisrael and God. And God through his Hashgacha. See, it's an interesting thing. It's like has a certain structure to it. There's a whole gamut. There's a whole gamut there. There's a history, and then there's the future, and then there's it's all tied in halachically. It's interesting. Churban HaBayis, and then you have the Tachanun because of the future, and then it depends upon the state of the now, if it's Shmad or not, you know, and then it depends upon the state of the people. See, that's the whole system of Tainus. Tainus is the Dalai Tzomos, is a special system. There's a whole separate structure in halacha, separate structure. Not covered by any of the Yom Tov. Different thing altogether. But it covers an important, fills an important gap. I mean, it fills the, fills a gap that was left by the Moadim. That gap was left by the Moadim. It's an interesting thing. The gap was left by the Moadim because the Moadim are constructed for the perfect system. A Tainus is structured according to the way the people lived. You see? In other words, there are Moadim that there are the Moadim give out, the Moadim express ideals. Moadim express fixed ideals for mankind. And Tainus is the ongoing relationship between Klal Yisrael and God. It's the ongoing relationship. That's Tainus. Tainus is the current, the actual. So really, the truth of the matter is that Tainus is, in that sense, is more important than the, has an aspect that the others don't have. In that sense, it's more important than the other ones. I mean, it has something the others don't have. The constant current relationship. That's what Tainus really is. What Tainus is so important. You really can't say which is more important. I mean, because each one fulfills a different purpose. Tainus Tziba is a chiyuv. I mean, that's why the Rav said that a chiyuv drabbanan is a chiyuv just like it's not any less than a chiyuv deraisa. And this is a chiyuv neviim, takanas neviim. Interesting. So I guess that finishes that area. You want to do another area? The question itself is the problem of how you can take it up.
Right.
Because if you can't take it up, then you really shouldn't take it up. You don't know whether you can take it up until you actually do take it up.
Sure.
You might find that you can't take it up.
You have to
take it up. That's right. So you have to, the answer is like this. The answer is you have to, the guy who prepares the shift to think about it before Tisha B'Av. Then he could tell the other guys whether they could do it. Right. What is the issue of Talmud Torah, really, for a novel? What's the issue? The issue of Talmud Torah for a novel is because of Simcha, right? Because Pekudi Hashem Yisharim Simcha Lev, right? And all the Pesachim said, I don't think you could do it too much, not too much leeway there. So Ram has too, doesn't it? Right? Well, Talmud Torah is awesome. Yeah. But what is? But let's go a little further. What is the idea of Pekudi Hashem Yisharim Simcha Lev? So therefore, what happens? So you're not supposed to be happy on a Tainus. Well, is it nisa to be happy? It's not that it's nisa to be happy. The halacha is you're not allowed to be mesir das from the avelus. And happiness is a hesir das from the avelus. But there is no isir of happiness per se. I mean, God doesn't want you to be happy now. Why? Just because you're supposed to be sad. That's an infantile way of understanding it. It's not that you're supposed to be sad and not happy. The idea is you're not supposed to mesir das from the concepts of the day. And if you're going to get into a happy mood, so you're going to be mesir, it's the hesach das that's bad. Not the happiness that's bad. Happiness brings with it a hesach das, that the person is completely removed from any of the concepts that have to do with the day itself, with the day of mourning, right? So it turns out if that's the case, and I would say that any ideas that that give us an appreciation of the day, any ideas that give us an appreciation of the day itself, the proper framework of the day and the ideas of the day, that certainly is not a heschadas. Because it's a... Because on the contrary, this gives you an appreciation of the day itself. I didn't ask the Rav, but I would assume that's why the Rav gives these types of shiurim. Because what he does is he explains the kinis, he explains the framework of the day, and even the halachas that he mentions are the halachas that have to do with the teskabal, the halachas that have to do with the chatzais and how the day changes all has to do with appreciating the day itself. So you cannot say, so that type of learning really is not hesvadas. So the enjoyment that one derives from that type of learning is not a contradiction to the day. On the contrary, it gives you the proper appreciation of the day. That's a different kind of enjoyment. But if you learn a sugya, and when you enjoy a sharp idea, you enjoy a tasteless, enjoy a Rambam, that's a separate thing. You just over-order the beauty of the thing itself, and you're not really, has no shaykhas to the day, to appreciation of the day. That's considered as chadas. That's what I would say offhand. That the that's why it says you're allowed to learn the all those things, Dvarim Rosh HaBiyamiyo. And it can't mean, how could you learn it? Of course it says you should learn it, Be'iyun. But I don't think it means...
Gemara said it.
Said it.
Rishon
doesn't
say it.
Rishon doesn't say it either. Just the Achronah said it.
Ram doesn't say it. I mean, no one's going to follow it. Ram says that you're allowed to learn Ram or Ram Shabiyamiyo. This is a...
That's good. Coin test is very good. The coin test is very good. Why? Because you're allowed to learn anything, and to learn means to understand. How can you learn an understanding? Because the more understanding, there's two ways. See, you have to understand that even our Avelis is not just an emotional outbreak. Avelis has a certain emotional framework that is natural for man to be in when he's in these areas. It's not natural for a person to be studying ideas that have a framework of a tragedy and to be overjoyed. So that's what it is. It's not a halacha that it's not the emotion per se. It has to be approached with knowledge, with chachma. Look at all the chachma. How can you read your M.E.O.? Tavar Moran should be M.E.O. and not understand what he's talking about. So what is it? It's worthless. It has to be an understanding of it. On the contrary, the understanding gives you, that's the right way to appreciate it, through the knowledge. And knowledge is the proper way.
What?
And Avil is allowed to, it says, that, but you mean if he's listening to halachas.
But Avil, why can't Avil learn Be'in halachas? He just says stam, and Avil's not allowed to do anything.
Right.
In terms of learning.
Who says? Ram says?
Ram says, yeah. He doesn't say Avil. Like here he says, I'll cover Be'in al Be'in al Be'in al Be'in al Be'in al Be'in.
Right.
By Avil, he just says that it's also to learn.
I'll tell you why, because over here there is a study. Because over here there is a study. Over here it's the study of the Ashgacha relating to Klal Yisrael. So there is a subject matter. So it's related to a subject matter. So that's why the part of the day, the nature of the day is enhanced by studying those things that describe and explain the nature of the day. But Hilchas Avelis is different, because in Hilchas Avelis, it's really the restrictions that that are supposed to put the person in a certain frame of mind. But understanding the particular structure of how it works is not really part of the study. What? Not learn the halachas plan.
Conceptually, give you a better understanding of what it is.
Understand the
status.
Study Hilchos Tisha B'Av, right? Doesn't say that. It's just these things. Tavarim Aroyim, I'm sure. And then what he means is, you see, there's two things. There's the halachic structure, and then there's the theme. The theme of the day. See? Exactly. You're allowed to involve yourself in the theme, but you're not allowed to involve yourself in the complications of the halachic structure, because as we know, the complication of the halachic structure becomes removed from the theme itself. Because that's the way halacha works. You know what I mean? So in the Hilchos Avelis, there's no theme. What's the theme?
Right.
Over here, there is a theme. So over here, he's allowed to learn the theme. He says, on the contrary, that fulfills his...
motif.
That's the motif.
The nature.
That's right. But over there, there's no motif. What motif is he going to learn? There isn't. Learn Eiv. The Avol is allowed to learn Eiv. That's very good. Ram doesn't say it. Okay, so the Ram doesn't say it. But we don't have to go everything with the Ram.
Yeah.
Didn't
hold any of existence, so that's why he's
there. That's right, exactly right. That's it. So the Ram was Masaba when he died. But for the average person, it says he should learn Eve. So Eve is very good, because Eve is really the tie to the concept of death and
losing
a relative. Tied in. Maybe the Ram didn't hold it. That's really what the theme of Eve is so much. Yeah, it could be. Could be a different thing. Maybe that's why I was mentioning it. It's possible. But the point is they both agree that if there's a theme, you can study the theme. So that's why you can learn on Tisha B'Av, you can learn only things that have to do with the theme.
Really, it would be a lot to learn on Tisha B'Av.
Unless for practical, only to look to know what to do practically. That you're allowed to do. Right.
But you wouldn't be allowed to learn.
Wouldn't be allowed to learn B'Av and Hilchos Tisha B'Av. That's what that would seem to make sense. Only the theme.
So Navel can learn
the say, unless the concept has directly to do with sometimes. It has to do with the...
for example, a guy covering up the mirrors.
Yeah, they say you let it tell him.
That's part of the theme. Concept.
Because that's part of the theme. That's part of the theme. Tell him that, because the downfall of man, man's turned upside down. Yeah. Right, right. That would be good. That's right. That you let it tell him. That you let it tell him. Anything has to do with the theme. That's what you have to say is that that's the same thing in Hilchos Avelos. That anything has to do with the theme of Avelos can't be awesome. Because that fulfills his whole purpose of Avelos. That's the purpose. But when you get into the halachic structure where the halacha becomes an end in itself and becomes simply an abstract conceptual
like,
structure,
taking away from the thing.
Right. Right, that's right. Right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, that's right. Right. Practical halachas are tied to the theme because the practical halachas are what puts them in the practical halachas is the border, the framework that puts them into that frame of mind. So he needs the practical halachas. He needs that's what practical halachas is allowed to learn and the theme. That's what you have to say. In both cases, it's not. The reason why the Rambam says Veina Kore is very good. Veina Kore is because we have a Torah Shebiksav with regard to this theme. But there's no Torah Shebiksav with regard to Avil. Except those who are Leah, but Rambam apparently has no Leah. Really, the truth of the matter is, really, even when it's not a Nidcha, people don't know this. But Me'ikar Adin, even when it's not a Nidcha, you're allowed, right after the Tainus, allowed to do everything. Except Bussin. No. Take a look at the Bir Alacha, it brings it down even. Bir Alacha mentions. That's a mistake, because all the Mechaber mentions, and there's a stira, and all the Mechaber mentions is Bussin V'Yayin. That's the only thing they accept until the next day. But you're allowed to wash clothes, you're allowed to eat a pizza, and you can do take a shave, you can do anything you want. Even when it's not a nitcha. The only difference between a nitcha and
so
not
why
a...
why was all in Bas V'Yayin chosen out?
That's a good question.
That's inherently simple.
Yeah.
That's inherently simple.
The other thing's not really... That's right. Bas V'Yayin is... it's an interesting thing. In Avelis, you're allowed to eat Bas V'Yayin.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? And Onain... An onin is not allowed to eat bas v'yayin. That's one of the few things that an onin has. It's the main thing, really. He's also in bas v'yayin. Isn't that really? That really is something that deserves an explanation.